for bringing your gift, talent, and spirit into Lizzie Chapel today to bless our souls and our hearts with your music ministry. And Sister Kelda Cuba is going to come now and read our scripture. Would you please stand as she reads in your hearing?
Acts, the second chapter, starting at the first verse. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Mm-hmm. In verse 38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to that number that day. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. We stand in this sanctuary, this place where you've called us to gather and worship and to praise. We pray, oh God, that you've been pleased with our worship of you. And now, God, we ask that you would speak a word. I am unable and I am incapable of revealing your holy truth. So, God, stand with me and stand in me. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Close to thee, Lord, close to thee. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. On last week, we spoke on two gentlemen who walked with Jesus unbeknownst to themselves on the Emmaus Road. And they were going in the wrong direction. Christ had just been crucified. It was a third day morning. But they did not yet anticipate that Christ truly did arise. As they were walking, they met a stranger. They were to remain in Jerusalem, but they were going to Emmaus, 7 miles down the road. Christ wanted them to be in Jerusalem because that's where the church will have its origin, but they were walking on the Emmaus Road. Jesus meets them, and he talks with them, and he walks with them to this place of Emmaus. They sit down and have dinner. And once he breaks the bread, their eyes are opened and they are revealed. And it says that they immediately went back to Jerusalem. This sermon is one that is a continuation of that Emmaus Road experience. And why God interrupted their conversation and the sadness and the disheartened spirit in which they felt because their Lord, their Savior, their Master had been crucified violently and cruelly 3 days ago. But it wasn't over, because Jesus Christ rose from the grave with the power of earth and heaven in his hand. And now he was about to begin the origin of the church. The church will have its birth. We said that there was Cleopas and Peter. Peter needed to be in Jerusalem. And so he sent them to the upper room. And so today's message is this: a new Pentecost. A new Pentecost. I preached this sermon a few weeks ago in Thompson, Georgia, and I did not know that I would be re-preaching it again in your hearing. For those of you who heard it before, just shout like you ain't never heard it before. But we pray that God will give us some more nuggets that we can all walk away with, a new Pentecost. That's my prayer. And my prayer is that at the end of this sermon, we will understand the significance of the Holy Spirit's presence in the church. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
I need your help. When the Holy Spirit of God is allowed to thrive in the life of an individual or in the life of a community, they will be guided into the truth, and they will be guided by the truth.
Yes. Yes.
Jesus tells his disciples in John chapter 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. When the Holy Spirit enters into the life of a community, he will guide us into these truths. The truth about ourselves, who we really are and who God created us to be. The truth about our world experiences. Why is this happening? And he will reveal to us that it's not just happening by circumstance or chance, but the sovereign God is orchestrating and ordering our steps. The truth of our life experience. But he also revealed to us, the Holy Spirit will reveal to us about the truth of our ultimate futures. That all of this is leading somewhere. That it doesn't end with death. But there's a future waiting for us. There is life, my sisters and brothers, after life. At the time of Pentecost, the world needed an infusion of truth. And on that day, God filled the hearts of a few believers with his truth, power, and love that started a God movement, bringing the presence of God into the world in such a powerful way that the world was awakened to the glorious truth of God in Jesus Christ. It was a new beginning. It was a new creation. My prayer, my sisters and brothers, is that there will be a new Pentecost in this present day. My prayer is that a genuine, spontaneous, God-breathed, God-orchestrated movement of God's Spirit in this church will take place in the hearts of his people. A new Pentecost, a soul-saving, devil-defeating, life-changing, church-cleansing, awe-inspiring display of God's transforming power. A new Pentecost. A gift-giving, truth-bearing, holiness-declaring, sin-cleansing, self-denying manifestation of God's presence in and through this church. My prayer is that God will give us a new Pentecost. Someone wisely said that new news is old news happening to new people. So my idea of a new Pentecost is not in anticipation of something new happening in the church, but something old happening to new people. When praying for a new Pentecost, I'm praying that the same thing that happened to the church in the book of Acts, praise his holy name, takes place in the contemporary church of today. I'm praying that the same thing that took place in Acts chapter 2 will take place in Macon, Georgia, and particularly at 1180 Bartlett Street, Macon, Georgia. So much of what we claim, my sisters and brothers, to be spirit is merely emotion, ignorance, or tradition. Let me say that again. So much of what we claim to be the spirit is merely emotion, tradition, or ignorance. If our understanding of God's manifested presence is limited to our cultural understanding or our particular tradition, then what we think to be spiritual is not the Spirit of God. If what we believe, my sisters and brothers, cannot be experienced by others, then we are ignorant or we are traditional. If what we believe, my sisters and brothers, to be the experience of God only works in America, and not Africa, Asia, or Australia, then it's not the Spirit of God. If what we believe, my brothers and sisters, to be the experience of God's moving spirit on the life of his people is not experienced by Baptists, Pentecostals, Catholics, and other denominations and religions, then it's not the Spirit of God. Truth is truth everywhere and at any time. And God is the God of all people at all times. So if it's good for Big Mama back then, it's good enough today. Praise his holy name. If it's good enough in Africa, it's good enough in Macon, Georgia. God's Spirit reveals to us the truth, not denominational truth, but universal truth. The truth of a loving God whose desire is to save all of mankind from the dregs and the dangers of sin. Praise his holy name. So, if we're praying for a new Pentecost, how can we know when a new Pentecost comes? If indeed new news is old news happening to new people, then we should be able to look back to that blessed and holy day that we call the day of Pentecost to know exactly what we are praying for. So let's go back to Acts chapter 2 to see what happened on that holy day. So that it happens, that when it happens in our day, we can know that it is of God and not tradition, culture, or ignorance. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. The new Pentecost, my sisters and brothers, will be preceded by a church coming together. Before there can be a new Pentecost, Christ will bring us all together. Old school and new school together. Educated and uneducated together. PhD and no D together. New members and old members together. Preacher and pew together. Hip-hop and blues together. Classical and country all together. When the new Pentecost comes, Christ will bring us all together. Because he told them to go to Jerusalem and wait till the Spirit has come. Wait till the Comforter comes. And God is calling us as individuals to come together collectively as a people. I know we have our unique preferences, and ain't nothing wrong with that. I know we have our desires and our anticipations, our hopes and our dreams. Nothing wrong with that. But God is going to bring all of us together. And when he brings us all together, old and young, new members and old members, when he brings us all together, then God will send his Spirit, and there will be a new Pentecost in the body of Christ. Praise his holy name. When the new Pentecost comes, all of the insignificant things that isolate us and separate us into our various camps will be dismantled, and the church will come together as one body. We all will want the same thing. And that same thing will be our desire to accomplish, to advance the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. God doesn't want you to be rich. God doesn't want you to have five cars and a five-car garage. No, God wants you to advance his kingdom. He wants you to spread his word. He wants you to give voice of his love. He wants you to be a reflector of his light and his love. And we can do that best when we all come together. The old folks say, when we all get together, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all come together, we will set aside our petty differences and walk together as the spiritual family of God. We will passionately work within the areas of our gifting
and encourage others to do the same. We will enjoy being in each other's presence for study and for worship, and never desire to miss the assembling of ourselves together. Praise his holy name. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. There can be no dynamic move of God's Spirit until we all come together. Well, y'all not hearing me today. But then in verse 2 it says, suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Suddenly, without anybody's help, suddenly, before anybody realized what was going on, suddenly, all of a sudden, all at once, my sisters and my brothers, the new Pentecost will not be an orchestrated human event. I don't care how well you sing, how well you preach, how well you plan or organize. When the new Pentecost comes, it won't be because of my skill, or it won't be because of your gift. It will be because God decides to move in the hearts and the souls of his people. It won't be because I preach so well or I preach so bad. It's only because it's God's appointed time to bring his people together. So quit thinking, my sisters and brothers, like the church can't move on without you. You ain't all that, really, you're not. God may use you, but God doesn't need you. Say amen, somebody. If God can use a rooster, if God can use a mule, if God can use a rock, he says, if these rocks, if you don't praise me, these rocks will cry. God doesn't need us. But he uses us in spite of ourselves. And when the Holy Spirit comes, it won't because you planned it or you orchestrated it, for it all happened suddenly. That's why you shouldn't miss church. You never know when the Holy Spirit's going to move. Praise his holy name. True movements of God don't originate with human effort. It happens in the fullness of time. And when God gets on one accord, God's people get on one accord, then the Holy Spirit will move. God does not need anything from us. All God needs from us is our obedience and our availability. But I also want you to notice what it says. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. It says, the people were in the room. They were there with one accord. And they were sitting. They were together. And they were sitting. They're waiting. They were sitting. They were inactive. They were waiting. They were praying. They were sitting. Maybe the church is too busy doing nothing. Maybe the church is just trying to do too much. Maybe we're doing too much planning without prayer. Maybe we're doing too much visioning without the God who gives the vision. Maybe the church is not listening to God's spirit and God's voice, but maybe we are listening to church planners and media savvy preachers instead of sitting down together and waiting for the manifestation of the presence of God. Something to be said about this Protestant work ethic. It's all right in society to have a strong work ethic. We need to have a work ethic in the church. But that work ethic must come through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We just can't get up and handle God's church our way and do everything that we want to do and try to carry out God's business, and then we make our plans and they say, God, come along with us and bless our plans. No, it doesn't work like that. They were sitting. They were sitting together with one accord. And when suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. Suddenly the wind came from heaven. A wind. Ruach, Old Testament. Pneuma, New Testament. Both Ruach, Old Testament, and Nuach, and Pneuma in the New Testament can be interpreted wind or breath. A new Pentecost, my sisters and brothers, happens when God brings us together and when we are sitting in anticipation of God's Spirit. And when that happens, God breathes on us. When there is togetherness, when there is unity, when we are all waiting for direction from God and looking for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, when we position ourselves in that posture and in that attitude of waiting and anticipating, not knowing what God is going to do, but knowing that God is going to do something, when we get in that position, then God breathes on us. When we don't have our own agendas, when we're not trying to be like some other church across the country or across the street, but we're looking and waiting for God to give definition to us, then He breathes on us. Yeah. He breathes. A new Pentecost will be accompanied by the breath of God. God will breathe into the lungs of the church, and she, like Adam, will come to life. God, help me to preach this thing this morning. He breathes within the lungs of the church the breath of life. And when He breathes, the church inhales. And it only comes to life when the church exhales. And the church has life when God breathes. And it's a series of God breathes His Spirit into us. And when He does this, we must inhale. But we also must exhale. We can't only inhale. We've got, if we're going to have life, exhale. We can't not survive if we only inhale. If we only inhale, we'll die. Life is only sustained when we inhale and exhale. God breathes the breath of life into the church that we might breathe God's life to the world. That's why the church dormant is dormant and ineffective, because we receive the Spirit, but we don't share the blessings. We worship, but we don't exhale. The two lungs of the church are worship and work. Worship, God sanctifies us. Worship, God empowers us. Worship, God anoints us. Worship, God breathes on us. And that's what's happening today. God is breathing on the church. You got to feel the Spirit of God up in this place. If you don't feel God's Spirit in this place, then something's wrong with you. God has breathed on us today, but we can't exhale, inhale, and not exhale. Yes, worship is good, and that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. God breathed his breath from heaven on the church, and like Adam, a new creation came to life, revealing God's glorious power through worship and work. We often want God to bless us, but we don't want to serve God. We want to inhale his blessings, but we don't want to work and exhale by sharing his love, his power, his grace, his mercy with those around us. As God blesses us, hear me closely now. As God blesses us, so are we responsible for blessing others. If God forgives us, we must forgive others. If God blesses us with whatever he gives to us, if he gives us life, we ought to bless somebody else with life. We ought to edify somebody, encourage somebody, lift someone up who's despondent and in despair. If God gives us life, we ought to share life with others. If God gives us money, we ought to share money with others. If God gives us gift and skill and talent, we are expected to share that gift, skill, and talent with others. If we don't do that, then the church will die. And maybe, God is not breathing on us because we're not breathing on others. Maybe, God is not blessing us as a community as he so desires. We are blessed. But believe me when I say, my sisters and brothers, that there's so much more that God wants to do with us and through us. And if you are in Christ, I know you feel it in your soul. And maybe he can't give us more because we're taking that which he has given us and holding on to it and using it for ourselves. How has God blessed you? If I were to ask how many of you are blessed, you would raise your hand and say, I'm blessed and highly favored. But let me offer to you something. God favors us with his grace, but he only highly favors those who are faithful. He only highly favors those who take his will and his purpose and use it for his glory. He only highly favors those who are obedient and who walk with him and share with him and sacrifice for others. That's who he highly favors. And a new Pentecost comes. That's my prayer, that God will highly favor and bless us. So when the wind of breath of God is seen in Scripture, God is bringing order out of chaos, as in the creation scenario. The Spirit, it says, or the wind of God moved over the face of the deep. Before there was a creation, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of nothingness. When God breathes, he's bringing order out of chaos. When God breathes, he's bringing forth new life, as in the case of Adam. And it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. When God's Spirit moves and God breathes, when the Spirit is active, then God brings order out of chaos, or God brings new life. Or when God's Spirit is moving, God is bringing deliverance to his people, as in the case when they were crossing the Red Sea, praise his holy name. It says, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all night long, and made the sea dry, and the waters were divided, and they walked across on dry land. Praise his holy name. Or when God breathes, he brings dead people back to life in Ezekiel's valley of dry bones. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds and breathe the breath upon these slain, and they will live. Yeah. And in the same way, my sister and brothers, when the new Pentecost comes, the breath of God will breathe on his church like a mighty wind, and God will use the church to bring order out of chaos. Somebody's life is disordered. Somebody is living a chaotic life. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he brings order out of chaos, or he brings new life of God into the souls of people who have become so despondent and depressed by life's experiences that he brings new life into their souls that they might become refreshed and revived. Or he brings deliverance to his people and the world. And though we are hemmed in and that we are reached the place where we can't continue on, God will make a way out of no way. God will open doors that have been shut in your face. God will do great things beyond our ability and our capabilities. That's what happened when the Holy Spirit comes. A new Pentecost. Anybody here praying for a new Pentecost? But let me tell you this. The angel of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah on one occasion with a message for King Zerubbabel. He was facing defeat. And the Lord tells the angel to tell Zechariah to tell Zerubbabel that don't worry, victory is coming. But this is how it's going to come, Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Anybody here wants deliverance today? Not by your might, not by your power, not by your connections, not by your hookups, but by the Spirit of God will deliverance come to the people of God. Praise his holy name. The new Pentecost will come not by intelligence, not by talent, not by oratorical skill of preachers, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Praise his holy name. But then in verse 3 it says, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Fire, my sisters and brothers, represents purging, the purging presence of God. Purging is cleansing. Purging is getting rid of those things that interfere with the move of God. When God purges, it's painful. When God purges, it's cleansing. And when God cleanses us, when he purges us, he's making us better. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. When the new Pentecost comes, God is going to purge his people of everything that's not of him. God will purge us of fears that we might joyfully do his will. He's going to purge us of doubts that hinders the acceptance of his will. He's going to purge us from traditions that no longer reflect his purpose or his will. He's going to purge us and cleanse us from the opinions of others so that we might confidently serve him and him alone. Praise his holy name. He comes to purge us. And when he purges us, he only rids us of the things that are not like him. Oh, there might be fire, but we won't burn up. Just like that bush that caught on fire when Moses came to Mount Sinai, it did not burn. And God calls us to the holy grounds where we can experience the purging power of God so that God might cleanse us and make us anew. Praise his holy name. And on that day, they were being purged and cleansed and set aside for the purpose of God. Oh, I wish we had the old church. Every now and then I listen for the old church back in the new church. Every now and then I want to hear somebody say, I wish somebody here would catch on fire. Fire in the Holy Ghost. Praise his holy name. When the new Pentecost comes, somebody's going to catch on fire with a fire that will not burn out. Praise his holy name. On that day, those gathered in his name will be endowed with the passion and the power that they will serve God like never before.
Yeah.
They may have just got here, but they're going to have a passion and a power to serve God. They may have been grown old and stale, but all of a sudden they catch on fire.
Yeah.
It all comes to life, and nobody can put out that fire. Criticism and denial and denial and Negro mess won't be able to put out this fire, because this fire is from God. Praise his holy name.
And all they want is to do the will of God.
And my prayer is, Lord, hasten the day of your anointing. Then verse 4 it says, trying to hurry up now. And take my time. All right. And it says in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. They weren't just parroting what they've heard somebody else say, because they had their own experience. They weren't echoes of somebody else's intention, heart, and mind. No, they were like John the Baptist. They were a voice crying in the wilderness. When the Holy Spirit comes, the church will speak with new tongues. We will speak a new language. We will speak of the glorious kingdom of God and the grace and the love of God. Praise his holy name. Liars will speak with unknown tongues of truth. Gossipers will speak with unknown tongues of edifying each other. Racists will speak with unknown tongues of brotherhood of man. The adulterer will speak with the unknown tongues of faithfulness and fidelity. The greedy will speak with unknown tongues of giving and sharing. The unjust will speak with the unknown tongues of equality, righteousness, and justice for all. When the day of Pentecost came, they will speak with unknown. They will speak with a language that everybody can identify. On that day, people were gathered from all throughout the known world. They were there. And when they spoke, everybody understood in their own language. Now the church needs to catch on fire. Because there need to be somebody up here that can speak old school. And somebody up in here who can speak hip-hop and new wave and new age. There needs to be somebody up in here who can speak to the drunkards, and somebody can speak to the drug addicts. There need to be somebody up in here who can speak to the white collar, and somebody who can speak to the blue collar. Somebody can speak with all those persons who are so unlike us and so disconnected from us. But we have a language because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit to reach them where they are. New tongues. You're not talking Christianese. You're not talking King James. You're talking real deal life. You have been anointed by the Spirit of God, and God has given you a language to reach people who will never come to church and never know God. New language. I don't know what you're praying for. You might be praying for a bigger house, a bigger car. You might be praying for a husband or a wife. You might be praying for a raise or a better paying job. You may be praying that one day you hit the lottery. Say amen, somebody. I know you're out there. That's all right. Just if the Lord bless you to hit it, just make sure that you worship him with a tithe. Amen. Amen. But as for me, I'm praying for a new Pentecost. I'm praying that the power of God might once again fill God's people with his presence. And as the old folks used to say, his precious Holy Ghost. Praise his holy name. I'm praying that God's church will come alive with an unquenchable passion to serve God and God alone. I'm praying that there will be a powerful demonstration of God's love in action. I'm praying for miracles of salvation, and I'm praying for them to be commonplace in God's house, that whenever we come into this place, because we are filled with the Holy Spirit on the outside, when we come into this place, somebody will come with us who don't know the Lord and say, "What y'all doing up in there?" And they will be saved.
That's my prayer. I'm praying for miracles, y'all. I'm not praying for miracles just so folk can get healed. I'm praying for miracles that God might be glorified. Ain't none of this about you, but it's all about God. Say amen, somebody. I'm praying for a new Pentecost. I'm praying that there will be a powerful demonstration of God's love. I'm praying that the devils will be cast out of the lives of individuals. I'm praying that souls will be saved. I'm praying that bodies will be healed. I'm praying that lives will be transformed. I'm praying that the gifts will be given. And I'm praying that miracles will give evidence of a loving and powerful God, a new Pentecost. That when the church gathers together in prayer, things begin to happen. Devils are cast out of the hearts of people, communities, governments, and systems that keep God's people in darkness, ignorance, and bondage. I'm praying when the church comes together in prayer that we'll pray prayers that sets the captives free so that they can freely worship and serve God according to God's sovereign will for their lives. I'm praying that the glory of God will be within us, and that the risen Savior who rose early Sunday morning will make his presence with us, and that he will be seen in us, and people will know that he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm praying for. I'm praying that Christ will be glorified. The one who shed his blood for us. The one who died for the sins of the world. The one who shed his blood for the payment of our sins. I'm praying that the one will be revealed whose stripes, by his stripes we are healed. I'm praying for a new Pentecost, my sisters and brothers, that will take place in the hearts and the souls of God's people gathered at Lizard Chapel Baptist Church. And this community, your home, or wherever you happen to be, will experience the love, the glory, and grace of a mighty and a loving God. I'm praying for a new Pentecost, that our young people will catch on fire and demonstrate their love for God wherever they go, unashamedly and unapologetically Christian, wherever they go. This is my prayer. Will you pray with me in this? If you receive this message, why don't you give God glory and praise in his house? Amen. 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 Let us all stand together.